The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 517. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
Yet two more canceled PlayStation Live Service games.
Yeah. We will be talking about that for sure. Two more hit the dust. All right. I'm going to assume Chris and Brett will join us when they join us. And I'm keeping it real with the fans. Got a gaming event in the morning, so I can't be here too long. So we're going to do a very compact show. I'm going to give you an hour and a half. But, you know, we're not going to be going for 50 hours. Let's get into it. You already know what we're talking about.
It's going to be rapid fire, yo.
No, we're not doing rapid fire. We're good. We're good. I just make sure that. Not to have two mix, but you already know what we're talking about. You see the featured image, you see the headlines. Nintendo Switch 2 was announced. Not a big surprise, like everybody knew it was coming, basically. We just didn't know the exact time, you know? Although I will say I was tipped off early, so I knew it was coming the exact time. But the day everybody knew it was, you know? I'm telling you, man, it's like for a company whose mascot is a plumber, Nintendo has been leaking a lot. You know, a lot,
you know?
Bro. It's crazy. And here's the thing. Obviously, you know, this trailer we saw only had, you know, basically the design. But all of that shit that was leaked about the design was all on point. Which leads me to believe all the specs are probably true. Anyway, but let's get into the actual trailer. Yeah, I was like 2 minutes,
before that, Tony.
Second shit. What's up, bro?
Quick question. I have show and tell. I could put the trailer on, but I'm curious, would we get shut down by Sony and the lawyers? Nintendo?
Fuck.
I don't trust anything with Nintendo.
Here's what we do, Carlos.
I think we should leave that alone.
Carlos, do show and tell, but don't play the video. Just like kind of like have still shots from it, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha.
And I'm not going to make it big. Right. And volume off, you know?
All right, bear back.
The trailer did reveal a lot. What are you talking about, dude? The console's bigger. Joy-Cons are bigger. They've been redesigned. There looks like to be a mysterious C button, a USB port on the top. We got a good amount of information, you know. The kickstand, Manny, you know.
Yeah, the kickstand, and not to mention the elephant in the room. They literally showed you a new game.
Yeah, right, they showed you a new game. Face. Yeah, so yeah, there was quite a lot of things. Maybe not the things we all wanted. Like me personally, I wanted to see specs. But we'll find that out in April, because this was an announcement.
Because they're saying April is the second. They're saying July is a bunch of play things around. You know they're going to be play events for it. I think it's going to be a summer. I think it's going to be a holiday.
Yeah. Correction, you and Carlo then.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris and I were sideways right about the fiscal year thing. Yeah, we're going to get the announcement at the fiscal year, but we're not getting the system. So yeah, I agree with you guys. We're going to get the system, probably holiday, and then another addendum, because I've been saying for a while that if this console releases, the Switch 2 release in March or April, like I predicted, that the Switch 1 will not outsell the PlayStation 2. Now things are different, aren't they? If the Switch 1 is going to be potentially out for 6 more months, and this is just a rumor right now, and I hate to give influencers props, but I kind of have to in this case, because even though it's maybe a case of broken clock is right twice a day, that same dude, Nate DeHate, who predicted this, says that there will be a Switch 1 focused direct in February, and some Brazilian reporter corroborated. So my guess is hey, we're not going to have a new system for you for a minute. Here's some shit to tide you over. And that could potentially push the Switch 1 over the mark of the PS2. You know?
And it also sort of explains a little addendum, a little bit of a, not an addendum, but a little bit of a, not a warning either, but it telling you about what the, you know, the games for the Switch 2 and the Switch 1. It literally says on one of the things at the end that Switch 1 games are compatible to Switch 2.
Yeah, we knew that already.
But
not the other way around.
Not the other way around. Yeah. So they're locking the door as we said they would do.
Yeah. And I still maintain that the instant the Switch 2 drops, and I don't mean instant like it's going to happen that second, but within a month or maybe by the end of the year, bro, I don't think the Switch 1 is even going to be available. Nintendo's going to be like, no, this is the new shit now. You can play your old games on it. Stop bitching, you know?
So does this mean that Nintendo believes in generations?
Oh, yes, they do. But the thing is, unlike Sony, they don't need to say it. Do it by action. But yeah, you know, Carlos, since you're already talking, what are your thoughts on the Switch you saw?
Yeah, I mean, it's at least physically, it's what I've expected it to be. I'm pleasantly surprised at the increase in size. Some people have been saying that it potentially is the screen is bigger than even the Steam Deck. Which I don't know if that's
it
been.
It might be because it looks like, you know.
Is it supposed to be 8 inches? I thought that's what
they didn't announce. They didn't announce it, but the screen looks like it's half an inch bigger. And if that's the case, it would be bigger than by half an inch because the Steam Deck is 7 inches.
Yeah.
And this thing has Carlos, you also notice that the bezels are slightly smaller. You know, so it's accommodate for that.
But still a little bit too big.
Big, but smaller than the old ones, you know?
Well, yeah, I think they have to be big because of the magnet. Big.
Yeah. Always with the magnets.
Oh, okay. Man, those are the magnets.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the whole thing with the Joy-Cons.
Joy-Con?
I didn't have much faith in Nintendo ever changing seriously how the Joy-Cons were going to be situated. Like, in particular, like I kind of wanted a D-pad. Like a real D-pad, but you know, it's Nintendo. So at least we got that whole, the different thumbsticks, which is good.
Hall effect, which is good. No more, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it looks like the thumbsticks are a little bit bigger, so maybe that actually fit my hands.
I was about to say, yeah, dudes like us, bro, with big hands, I think it'll be a lot better, you know? Joy-Cons themselves have also been kind of reworked, like the tops. They have newer buttons, which is kind of cool. You also, like, snap them into place now, the Joy-Cons, instead of, like, sliding them off. I do want to address this, because I saw a lot of people saying, oh, people are going to break the connector. That connector is, like, really deep inside the console. Like, it's going to be very hard to break, because it's, like, deep within a recess kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, the body recess. So, you're not going to be able to break that, you know? It's not protruding out or anything, you know? But, yeah, very interesting. The kickstand, very good. Because remember, the Switch 1 had that little flimsy, it's like a flap, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, just on one side. And it looks like you could also maybe hold the console with that kickstand because it's like a handle, you know?
Yep.
Some people said there's a C button, the letter C. There were some mock-ups of the, you know, the rumored Switch, which, again, all that shit came out to be true. It was labeled as C, but on this one, it's not labeled, but the button is there, which is very interesting.
Well,
they used to have a C button.
They used to, yeah.
Well, I mean, where is it located?
On the top of the Joy, you know, when you separate the Joy-Con on top here.
Carlos, can you move to that on the video?
So before that, though, because I did hear the same thing. I thought it was below the home button. So on the thumb, if you look at the screen, there's the home button on the right side, on the right Joy-Con, and right below it, it's a button that has nothing on it.
Interesting. Because I was looking at the Verge and they showed the top. Like, oh, look at that thing. So yeah, I just scrubbed through the timeline. Go back a little bit.
Isn't that one by the home button just the NFC?
Oh, is that?
No. Keep going, Carlos. Keep going back.
Because I swear that the OG Switch had that.
Keep going. No. Back. Yeah. Keep going a little bit. Go back a little bit more. Actually, that one's pretty good. There it is. Stop right there. Isn't it that button right there next to SL? That rounded button?
I think I could be wrong. That might be a connecting pairing button.
Maybe.
No, that's not a button. That is the release.
That's the release?
Yeah, so it, if you remember the demonstration by that one company, when they push that button that you see that's on the bottom there, that's right under the ESP, that activates it off of the console.
Okay.
They demonstrated it before, so it's like in the inside, and you go, and that's how you pull them
I didn't,
off.
Oh, I didn't. I you're talking about Genki? Okay. I didn't see that during the Genki demonstration.
They showed off that there was a release button that releases the magnet from the
Console. Be a magnet. Okay.
So that's what it's. No, they are magnets. What they're used to attach.
Yeah, they are magnets. Like, yeah.
So what they do is there's actually two. Looks like there might be two of them if you look at the thing.
Yeah, the top and bottom. Set, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know what, Manny? Different magnetic polarity. That makes sense.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the release from the way you think it has like a little thing that pushes into it when you hit the button on the inside there on the bottom that you can see there.
Yeah. So okay, so where's the C button then?
There is no C button there.
No. So Carlos, you said it's underneath it's not that, right? Or is it?
Right below the house. So the reason why they said that was a C button is because I think it was either Genki or someone, one of the other third party things had an actual logo on it.
Yeah.
So that's why the rumor started with that.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it could be. It could also be, an official a share button for this.
They have a share button on the other one, though, don't they?
The share button is right here.
Yeah, there. That's the share button. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Well, how about this one? Well, why wouldn't if it's supposed to be so that you could split off the controllers to two separate controllers, right? Yeah. Theoretically, you would want to have a share button on both sides, right?
Not really, because if you're just doing two player mode, you don't need both. Both players aren't going to have to share stuff, you know.
Take screenshots from the other one. I don't know.
But you can just tell a friend, hey, take a screenshot of that. Remember, you separate them because you're two player mode. You know, you're not like in separate places.
No, but I'm saying like it could be a possibility for something to have. Like I get it. Both of you are in the same thing, but you know, it might be something they could be thinking about. But it's asymmetrical, right? Because there's a home button on the right one. On the red side, but there's not a home button on the left side.
Yeah, that's how it was on the original.
Yeah.
By the way, something we haven't mentioned about the Joy-Cons. The Joy-Con boys.
Oh, the mouse functionality.
Yes.
Very. So this is another thing, Carlos. I'm pretty sure you know that was rumored that you could use the Joy-Con as a mouse. And this is literally like this is the only part in the video where you see the Joy-Cons with the fucking wrist strap. Looking like a mouse, you know. So I think that's been confirmed as well. But so, my question is, which games would use this? Because there's no like RTS games on Nintendo that I'm aware of. But it could be new game, which would be interesting.
If Larian announces Baldur's Gate 3 for Switch 2, there you go.
Yeah. So I my guess is it's going to be for new games utilize it, and you know Nintendo's first party people are trying to get wacky stuff with.
So one of those holes is actually a laser.
Yeah, there's a quick shot, you see an optical like thing on there. Like when you actually, I don't know if Carlos, if you can find that, but like when they show like kind of the inside, the background is like kind of whitish. I remember, you actually see the optical kind of. You may want to go back further because remember the controller kind of comes up first. Perfect, you had it.
Perfect.
Wait.
Yeah, right to the right of the
scroll a little bit. There's one shot where it's actually more visible.
It looks
remember it being on the blue one. Stick with the blue one, Carlos.
Yeah it's on the right.
Yeah, you had it right there. Like the angle's a little bit different. Yeah. Let's go for that.
Yeah, it's weird because I click on it.
Yeah,
there we go.
You had it through.
What the hell?
Come on, YouTube. You can do it, son. Maybe you can just let it play naturally and just pause it.
Yeah.
Oh no, you gotta go forward.
Yeah, let it run naturally. Don't worry, the sound's off. So it's just showing how it.
Right there.
No wonder.
They're
perfect.
Speed, right?
What's up, Carl?
There it is.
You know you can run it at 0.25 speed, right?
We're not that smart here, Brett.
You know?
Okay. Just heads up.
Let me do that.
Yeah, no, there it is. So there's the optical.
You got it.
Yeah. Slow motion. Look at it right there. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Oop, there it is. You know,
and I remember somebody saying that there was a weird red light that comes forward.
That's the optical. So that's for sure.
That's it.
So yeah, I mean, again, that was rumored. Every design thing that was rumored, confirmed. Absolutely. And Mario, man, you let these leaks happen. You know, you're a plumber, bro. What happened?
And the Luigi's slagging it too.
You know, well, Luigi's out there murdering CEOs, but you know.
Oh, shit.
I think you mean doing God's work.
No, that guy's a fucking scumbag. Anyway, I want to talk about the dock. Because that's been redesigned as well. Like, remember how the original was kind of boxy? This one kind of has like rounded sides and stuff. But we don't really know much about it. The trailer, yeah, there it is. It's just looks like the old one.
It looks pretty much just like the Switch. Like it.
Yeah.
It looked enough like the Switch to confuse grandparents and uncles across the world.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is rounded. The other one was sharp edges.
Here's another thing that I've seen people talk about. It's like, you know, we and Tony mentioned this during the chat on Discord. Shout out to the Discord.
Yeah.
You talk about families, right?
Yeah. Family.
In my family. You know? this looks mature or mature.
Oh, mature. That's an interesting adjective.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's all black. It's you know, it's not that, you know, colorful like you know.
That's a good point.
I did notice that myself.
Yeah, like even
they moved the
Joy-Cons,
color to the sticks.
Yeah, Chris, you notice that too. It's like the Joy-Cons are black just with colored accents instead of just being colored Joy-Con, you know? You're right about it. It's a little bit more mature, you know?
Don't they do that every generation? Don't they flip-flop back and forth every generation pretty much?
Give examples.
The XL was all black. They had one that was all black.
It's but then they had colors later.
Later on, yeah. So we may get color ones later. But for the launch one, it was black. Because I remember I got that XL one, and it was just a nice glossy black.
Yeah.
The Wii was solid futuristic white.
Yeah, the Wii U was white too.
Yeah, well, don't worry. They'll skin this with every first-party title. There'll be a Pokemon Edition and Fire Emblem.
Yeah, Zelda, the inevitable fucking Switch 2 Lite. You know, that'll come in a bunch of colors, you know?
It's going to be smaller.
Yeah.
I imagine, too, that this is, they'll probably launch with the black and the colored versions again.
Maybe. Could be. Because remember, Carlos, like you kind of talked about, the original had the colored Joy-Cons, and then what were they, like gray Joy-Cons or something?
Yeah, gray.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was gray, and then they also had the blue and red, remember?
Yeah, that was the color ones, Joy-Con. Yeah.
Yeah, the color ones. But, you know, we'll probably talk about it when it gets there, but I'm sure the first bundle set that they announced, that one will have some kind of look. I wouldn't be surprised for a Metroid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they do it for all of them, so it's not a spoiler. It's just how they do things.
Yeah, yo, Carlos, hit us with that kickstand. I want to talk about that.
Because
the kickstand's very interesting. There it is. That was a good set. Look at this. Now it actually, like, bends. Like, actually, it never bent before. It just kind of flipped up. But this one is, like, adjustable. It broke. You bend that shit that far, it'll break. But, yeah, let it run.
That's not even a kickstand. That's, like, a full back.
I mean, let the video run a little bit so people can see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there it looks like. So that angle's pretty, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. So it comes up from that way. So here's my question. Because in the original one, the kickstand is where, you put the SD card. So is there an SD card slot in this area too?
No, I think it's on the side or something. When they show the bezel, remember the animation where it's the grooves are getting inlaid and then you see the port? It's on the side with the port.
Oh, maybe on the right side, if you see the image, it's really blurry though.
No, I'm going to zoom it up. I see like, yeah, look, that's not where the games go, is it?
So then ports. So, we should see one for the old games, one for the new games.
You see a port right here, right? Like on the top here.
Yeah, the one at the top is a game.
Yeah, that's for the game. So where would the SD card slot go?
That's usually hidden in the back.
Yeah, on the bottom right, where the kickstand would be if it closes.
Yeah,
there's like a slot.
Yeah. Okay, I see it. Yeah.
So they still put it under the kickstand.
Yeah.
And we do know that they're making physical games this generation, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they said.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, because they actually specifically said all your physical games will work on this Switch 1. Switch 2 games are also going
to. So are there two slots or two different types of
cartridges? No, I think they're going to use the same form factor.
Yeah.
For the cartridges.
can they hold more capacity? Did they figure out a way to?
We don't know that yet.
Because that was the big problem. Remember, it's like it couldn't hold full capacity, so you would have to download the rest of the game. Who wants to do that shit? So every time you get a game, you're only getting half the game because you got to download the rest of it.
Well, I hope they figured it out.
You know.
Yeah, I'd also heard their backwards compatibility was through their online service somehow, which made me suspicious, but I don't have as much info as you guys probably do.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, you have to be a member in order to get it?
I haven't heard about this. No. Can you let me know, Brett? I haven't heard about this.
All I had heard was, because I was briefly looking at something, because as I was making dinner, and it said, it'll have backwards compatibility through its online service. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say.
They better not put it behind a paywall.
No, it didn't say that. There's a screen later on that says all your, there it is, all your Switch.
Yeah, what I wanted. I was looking at. Thank you.
So, in other words,
but what about your digital games? What if you buy them off the eShop?
They said digital games too.
Yeah,
Nintendo Switch 2 plays both physical and digital Nintendo Switch. Certain Switch games may not be supported on or fully compatible with Nintendo Switch details. Blah 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 blah. The other thing is,
maybe it doesn't have HD Rumble. Is gone.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know about that. Certain peripherals probably not going to work with, like, Labo. I don't think it's going to work with it because it's designed for the original
Switch. The old Joy-Cons,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, of course. But you can't buy Labo anyway, so who gives
a shit?
Yeah, you can.
I still see that in source.
Yeah, people could buy that. And what's the other one?
Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants it.
What was the other one that it was another kind of weird peripheral?
The VR Mario Kart thing, remember? Where it's like... It could show you put the flags and stuff in your house, and you could make it look like a.
Yeah, so that stuff probably won't be compatible. But yeah, it looks like, at least over here, it's the same kind of cartridges. But again, Adam, we don't know about capacity to stay tuned for that.
Can I go next? I'm mad.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me.
Because it's disappointing. This presentation was disappointing. It was a half
hour. Well, it wasn't. There's a reason for that.
There's a bunch of reasons, but they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have done any of the reasons because we had all the rumors, all the stuff. Everybody's all hyped to see something, and that's what it feels like. It feels like this is like one of those, there you go, little piece. No, I don't want that. If you're going to do the presentation of just an introduction of something new, similar to like what we saw the first time they did it, where they did a full scope of like, hey, this is the hardware, this is the software, this is the interface.
Well, they couldn't do that because this is just a response to the leaks. This is
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And it feels at that point, don't do it. To me, this felt empty. And like I mentioned in the private chat, so you guys, I have two kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old. We have Switches. Both of them have a Switch. I showed them this. I said, what do you think? One walked out the damn room, and the other one was like, whatever. I was like, you don't see anything interesting? And my daughter, she was like, well, got a bigger screen. It looks bigger. I guess that's nice, right? It's just like the iPhone. And she wasn't wowed. There's nothing here that wows. And
well, because I'm sure, not doing anything except
that's what I'm saying. Around, you know? It wasn't doing anything. So it would have been great if they showed not just whatever screenshot, who knows if that's even gameplay on there, but just show a glimpse of the interface and just like panning through or something just to show.
Well, yeah, I will agree with that because to just say, hey, stay tuned till April 12th or whenever the stream is to see the full features, that's a while's off, right? You know, so unless you're going to do piecemeal like mini streams, like, hey, here's a feature or here's a title or whatever, we'll show you running. Like if you did that, then you could just push engagement forward. But then to do this response, like, oh, we got leaks, let's just put this out there and hope everyone's happy. I could see how it's backfires. It's not in their favor.
If they had something to really show, or just even like we're seeing that little Mario Kart thing, throw a splash screen saying that Mario Kart 9 or a splash screen, a new Smash Bros, which I don't know if will ever happen, you know, but those type of things get people excited. This, it just looks bigger. You know, that's pretty much it. Throw me some spec sheets. Just throw a spec sheet. We know it's not going to be as good as some of the other handheld PCs out there, but still do something.
I want to piggyback off what you're saying. Do more or do less. And I'm not even saying do nothing. Like, I agree with you 100%. Like, this feels like they're like, I don't know, we got something leaked. Like, what do we got going around? And everyone's like, look, we got some Mario Kart footage. Like, cool, fine, yeah, throw that on and throw it out there. Like, it would have honestly been better just to do a teaser trailer that would have just been like, you know, Switch and then a number 2 and then a date of, you know, April, and then just be like, we'll tell you all about it then, right? Let people
You're hyped because you know when you tune in, you're going to get all the info that you're hyped for. You want to see it all.
Yeah, yeah. This was just enough to kind of not really be satisfying and be like, yeah, okay, so cool, I guess. Like, bigger Mario Kart. Like, I don't know, man. Like, and I don't think any of us are super hyped on the Switch 2 anyway, but like, this was the worst way to do it. Like, and I realize the bar is low, but you can't just flash a Mario Kart. That I have no, I don't know if this is even a new Mario Kart.
Some people are saying that the models look different. They don't match up with the current models.
It actually is a new Mario. They redesigned a couple things, and I don't know if this track is actually in the previous games.
That's not my point.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
That's not my point. It's like, I'm not saying this is the same Mario Kart. I'm saying, unless I am a hardcore Mario Kart aficionado that knows the models of the carts by heart, this isn't a clear upgrade. This isn't an obviously new Mario Kart. This isn't you're not like, what is this Mario Kart Black Wizardry? Like, this could be running on the Switch for all I fucking know, judging by what I'm seeing.
Real quick, Brett, what I took when I saw that, I was like, this is, as we all know, the Nintendo has made it clear that Mario Kart had the highest attach rate to the Switch, right? And that this was just one of those things to let the casuals know, oh, your Mario Kart works on this. That's it.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell if, like, it was the same Mario Kart or a different Mario Kart. And granted, it is good to know that it's a new title, but you think, like, I don't know, and maybe I'm just an 80s kid. I'm like, back in my day, we used to have a clear difference between the generations. And I understand like that's me. Been... I know. And I understand that's like not been the case for 5 years, but this feels like even less the case than normal. Like, I'm like, I don't even know if this... All I know here is that, hey, look, like, if I didn't know better, if I weren't on this podcast and I were looking at this, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm looking at, but instead there are small cues like that. I don't really recall this version of Mario Kart. This looks like a track I'm not familiar with, and the edges of this seem a little bit off. But like, it's just small. Like, it's small nuances for those in the know. Like,
it's,
this is
Switch
like,
XL. That's it.
Yeah. So like, it's they could have waited until they could have put together a sizzle reel that would have gotten you a little bit. I don't even say that. Not even that got you a little bit more hyped. That was at least noticeably different than what they currently have. Even if it's like a, hey, here's a new Mario and a new Mario Kart and a new Zelda, like we always do. Boom, new Switch. Also, Animal Crossing. That would have fucking killed it right there. Because possibly thrown in a potential for some Pikmin down the road, boom, you're fucking done. You've hit all the bases, the major trifecta, you're good. And those all just have to come out like the first year. They don't even have to launch with all the fucking things. Just get your shit together and get people excited for this. Like, you release the same half dozen titles, Nintendo. It's not like we don't know and you don't know what's coming up. You could have slapped together a fucking sizzle reel or teased us enough to not kind of be a letdown. This is just, it's, I don't know, man. It's just middle of the road. It just feels like they slapped together some shit that was in the fridge and expected it. It just feels low effort, I guess.
The biggest thing that also pissed me off is that there's one major gripe a lot of people with a Switch have with this, is that you couldn't customize the homepage. You couldn't customize anything. And that was a big part of all the other ones, the 3DS and stuff. Remember, you could put a whole theme together. You had the music. You had different buttons. You had to change the wallpaper and all stuff. It made it, you know, your own. A lot of customization. Kids today love that, right? You see with Fortnite, all the other, they love just customizing. So everyone was hoping that eventually the Switch would get there. And we went through the whole generation, which is either all black or all white. Just take it. And it's like, damn, that seems lame. So I was really hoping that they would be like, all right, we listened to you. And who knows, maybe they have. We haven't seen it, but man, they didn't show anything.
This is just a tease for the big reveal.
But that's what I'm saying. You know? That is not an excuse. This is horrible. Don't tease like this. Don't do this, is what I'm saying.
Is it really a tease? Because I don't feel very teased, Tony.
Yeah, well, it is. That's what they called it. They call it a tease. I don't make the rules, you know? Yeah. Oh, by the way, this Mario Kart actually has, I know no one's going to give a fuck, but just throwing it out there just for the sake of fairness. This Mario Kart has 24 players, drivers on the on the road instead of 12. Mm. So that's not, that's a series first. So
yeah, I mean, that is a thing that is different.
Yeah,
I'll agree. But again, like, hey, dude, you should be. I shouldn't have to have a hardcore in-depth game knowledge. Like, I shouldn't have to have that to understand what the difference between your products is.
Yeah, just no, think it, they did it. I don't disagree with anything you said, Brett, but I'm just saying there are differences, and I did see the Nintendo fans losing their fucking minds over this little
trick. They would have lost their minds if they just saw the Switch 2 logo. We can't count them. We cannot count them.
They have lost their minds over just logos, literally.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can't.
Yeah.
What I think would have helped this is if it wasn't just a speechless CG show, because I think you needed somebody to explain like the differences. You needed either a voice overlay with some other gameplay besides this. You could have taken some screenshots. There's probably a Mario well in development that you could have shown, even alpha footage of it, probably in a clean area that you could show on the screen and whatnot. Just that would have excited people more, but you needed someone to explain this, because we could pick up the visual differences. We get that the Joy-Cons are bigger now, they're magnetic or whatever. I think Adam's right. A lot of people just see this and they're just like, it's a bigger Switch, I don't see the difference, and it's less colorful.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Probably the normal person to them is like, okay.
And the ironic part of all this is that, you know how YouTube is like pretty much anti-YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, the Nintendo, and always going after the streamers and this and that and giving them flags. By them not having someone narrate over and talk about what the differences are and stuff, and not putting anything around on the screen, you're leaving it open for that. You're letting those content creators control the narrative and say what they want, whether it's like, oh, this looks shitty like this, or this and that. I bet this connects this way. And I'm sure somebody in Nintendo Lab is like, no, we had plans for this. No. Well, you didn't put it in your damn big introduction. First, you know, appearance is everything. So...
Here's the thing, and not saying that I agree with it, but I'm pretty sure this is what Nintendo's thinking. They don't want to deviate anywhere near anything that seems different to the original Switch. The original Switch in the next year is going to probably surpass the PS2 in all-time sales.
Well, that's fine. But at least while you're showing the curves or the different ports, just splash and say, hey, this compared to this was this.
Here's the thing. That's why I put this is why I put this the screenshot here. This is all they wanted to do, and just to make sure, hey, this is the new one. They put the 2. That's a huge-ass freaking 2.
Big 2.
There's nothing aesthetic about it. Other than the fact that it's telling you, hey, this is the version 2 of what you guys loved, or what you guys bought 2 of for the kids and stuff.
I mean, I get that, Carlson. This is a big lesson learned from the Wii U fiasco. The presentation of the Wii U was a disaster. The tablet, the U name, which wasn't a 2. It was like, what does a Wii U mean, right? You had everybody confused from... point of purchase was confused that they thought the tablet could connect to the original system to consumers, right? So they wanted to make it clear with this one, right? But it's not enough, right? I agree with what Adam's saying. They're trying to set expectations, but to set expectations, you have to also tell while you show, right? This thing was speechless. It was just like clicking and and it's animated. It's a CG model. Well, you needed somebody narrating over it, and you needed some specs and some tiles and some logos. That would have gotten everyone excited. And the reason Nintendo did that also, it's not that with this the influencers and streamers will set the narrative afterwards. Nintendo is trying to set the narrative, but I think they did a poor job because, you know, with people 3D printing fake stuff, and now you have AI, and then you'll have people putting out like, oh, look at this. This is a Switch 2. This is what it looks like. And they'll just put out fake photos and stuff. Nintendo wanted to be like, all right, let's just get ahead of the message and put this out there. But it's rushed. It's not a complete thing. And you can have a big stream in April. Sure. Maybe that's what they were always planning to do. But you needed more now. And otherwise, you're going to have to keep following up, have follow-up explanations all the way up until April to fill in the blanks if people are in fact confused.
I agree with Chris's sentiment in relation to people who are expecting more. But we, as a Switch One, was a testament to it. It didn't take much. It really didn't. So I don't know if it's gonna work, but I would bet that it would, just for the mere fact that people bought Switches like crazy, gave them to one kid, to two kids, and it played Mario, it played Zelda, and it played Animal Crossing. And what this is gonna do, it's a big two that's gonna play Mario Kart, Zelda, and Animal Crossing, and Pokemon. And that's pretty much all it takes. That's the barrier of entry for a lot of folks that are going to...
You said it. They already bought. Parents have bought their kids multiple Switches. And when they see something like this, oh, it plays all the same ones. All right, so until your Switch breaks, we're not going to need to get this. You know, so you'll be okay. And when it does break, then we'll get one. But right now, you already got... We got a bunch of these in the house. It's going to take software to sell to that audience. Because the big and the screen, all that...
That's my concern. I think a lot of the newer stuff, if not all of it, is going to be exclusive to this system. I mean, even a title like Metroid Prime 4, which was promised for the original Switch, might be exclusive to this system, right? I wouldn't put it past them to do that, even though it was built for the last one. So just, you know, be aware of that. I'm not making a prediction. I just think they would do that. They very much want to push this one. They want to push. They always want to push people to the next system, right? So what do they do?
They did the same thing with the DS. They did it. You know, they've already, you know, cut. They've already walled off things before when they made a sequel console or a sequel handheld.
Yeah, and Chris, I said this before you jumped on. I kind of think that by the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised which one.
Oh, it'll be discontinued probably before the holiday, and you won't be able to find one. If somebody is like, oh, I want to, unless you go on eBay or something. But if you go to a store, I guarantee Nintendo will pull the same strategy they did with the Wii U. Yeah. Because that's the lesson they learned from the Wii U. They're like, put the Switch out. They're like, yeah, fuck it. Pull this from points of purchase and just put, and then we'll just launch the Switch. You couldn't get a Wii U anywhere. They buried that thing next to ET. It was gone. And they don't have any loyalty to the previous system. The Wii was a success. They killed that instantly. They shut off all the services and whatnot. They don't care. So I have a feeling like you're right. And this year we'll just see the Switch phased out. You won't be able to find a new system like a Switch Lite or original Switch or this, whatever, the Switch Pro, you know, or OLED, the OLED. The Switch OLED. Yeah, they'll just start disappearing. And you're like, all right, well, the only way to get one's on eBay. And some people may do that because, like Adam said, they just don't see the difference with the system. So it's like, I'll just get, you know, pick up one of these cheap and you can play the same games.
Yeah. And by the way, when I was doing my research for this stuff, I didn't realize that Nintendo actually announced they were discontinuing it before the Switch came out.
Yeah, remember we talked about it? Remember, okay, so a month before that we did a show, and Kimishima had said in Famitsu that they were going to support the Wii U well into the life of the Switch, and I called bullshit immediately. I said, he's lying. And I said, watch, by the end of the year, it was 2016, I said, by the end of the year, they will discontinue the Wii U, and you probably won't be able to get one. And sure enough, that's what they did.
Yep, in January, they announced we're discontinuing a month later. Fresh into that 2017. That's going to happen. Yeah, like, I agree with you. I think games like Metroid Prime 4, whatever it is, will be exclusive.
Yeah.
That's probably why they haven't shown it in forever.
Yeah. That's a good point. You know, so...
Now the question, you think they would do that with, like, Mario, Mario Kart? You think they would...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're gonna lock up...
The next Mario is definitely going to be
exclusive. Next Mario is... Yeah, Mario Kart... All that should be.
They're gonna force you to board just like Windows 11.
10. That's mainly a theme for tonight. all right. Anything else you guys want to say about the?
It's a thing.
It's to me.
I guess that's my question. Who's getting this thing in the panel?
I know Chris will have one in his house.
Well, eventually, I'm not. You know what? But I think even though Kristen may want one, I'm not going to early adopt this thing. I want to see if it bends. I want to see if it overheats. Yeah. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for those first motherfuckers like, put it in the dock and it start bending.
I want to see what it can do. I want to see the interface. That's a big deal for all my consoles. You know, that's the whole issue I had from the PS4 to PS5. PS4 was awesome. The interface was great. And the 5 is
Xbox and PlayStation 2.
Adam.
Yeah, it's like, yo.
I can't wait. Obviously, this might not happen, but 10 years from now, we're having a conversation on Throwdown episode 1055. And then we talk about it, and Adam's like, this is it. I'm gonna get buried with my Switch 2.
Oh no.
You're gonna replace the Game Boy.
I got some things that I will be buried with, but that's not it. More of an Angel shirt. I got some other things planned out. I got a whole little baggie that I want coming with me, and I want to have something playing until the battery dies.
The afterlife.
Stay tuned in 10 years to see if that happens. If Adam decides.
I was gonna say, damn, dying in 10 years. Holy shit, Carlos! What the frack? You're putting a Bali Holly on me? Shit, set me up.
Yeah.
Until you make your decision.
Oh man, no. My decision right now is there is no decision on this. I don't see anything that screams out really day one. I need to see more. And I'm sure it's some. There'll be some the Mario game. Something's gonna trigger where one of my kids is gonna get excited for. But like I said, at first glance with this, I was expecting a little more. At least with the kid, like, oh wow, I can't wait. You know, us as people that have grown up with these consoles, we've seen stuff that have wowed us in our lifetime. You know, we've even on this panel when we've seen certain things, they're like, oh, we get excited.
Yeah,
there was none of that. I don't, no one here has been like, oh man, let's talk about this. I can't believe what we just saw. Oh, what? No, that didn't happen. And that's what you want to happen. I would think as a manufacturer of one of these things, you want that type of reaction. And the only ones giving you are the crazy fanboys that you could spit on it. And they'll be like, yeah! You know, I'm sorry, that's not here. That's not on this show.
I'm not going to definitively say that I'm getting it, but I'll just say that I'm likely to get it.
That new tech, baby.
Well, yeah, and it's just you know, it's freaking Nintendo. And Tony, I have a question for you.
What's up?
I don't know if you can see my screen. Yeah, it says,
we see it.
Series of hands-on events held around the world.
Yeah, there's a New York one. I'm gonna see if we could get there. You know, Tom's Guide, do like a report from there. That's pretty interesting. So yeah, we'll see. You know,
interesting.
I mean. Whether I'm the one to attend, it's up in the air because you guys already know how I feel about Nintendo and its something. I legit don't care. But
Nintendo.
But I appreciate that this announcement happened because we got a lot of traffic today, boy. You know, so I appreciate it on that front. You know, even though I had to work a lot. I've been working since I worked from 8 till fucking 6, you know.
So here's a question for you, Tony, because when you did on Tom Scott with the video, with the Lenovo, is there a window of when that's releasing? Those
Lenovo,
there's no window, right?
No, not really. I know the Go S will release first part of the year, and the Go 2 will be released later this
year. So the later this year could coincide with the release of this.
Yeah, it could, but it's two different markets, so it's not going to kind of, you know what I'm saying?
It could be, but I think a lot of people, especially now that we have all these portable PCs and see what is possible and the things that you can run on it, and you see people playing, you know, the big titles out there. I think that will also play a big factor in this. Because it's also, we don't know the power. We don't know the power in this.
Yeah, but remember, Nintendo fans don't care about power. They care about...
Oh, that's a separate... But that's a separate... Those people, they're in their own world.
Adam, that's my point. I don't think people are going to be like, oh, I want something more power. It's like, oh, I'm a Nintendo fan. I want this. You know, or, hey, I just wanted to shit for my kids. I don't want to deal with installing Windows, you know? So I don't think they're going to cannibalize each other. There's two different markets.
But we saw so many people that just purchased the Switch because it had a lot of big games like Burnout Paradise, the games that they liked on console to play in on their hand, right? That was the whole big thing. I was like, oh, well, I could take this. It was a Dark Souls, a few other things that were on there. So I can see that audience.
Yeah, that audience sure. Like,
you're
talking about yourself in this case.
But myself, but people in my generation. That's what I'm saying. It's like that. Those portable PCs weren't available at the time.
Oh, no. I agree. I think people like you will opt for the big boy consoles, but for regular people who just want Nintendo games,
this is it. Well, they got no other choice. Yeah. User's gone.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way. Rich, Brian, you guys have anything to say? Because you guys haven't said. So, Brian, what about you? What do you think?
I don't really have many thoughts, to be fair, because it's just, again, it's a Switch. They haven't really shown anything, really. I guess we'll see more when time comes. It's it's cool that, they're making it, which is a good start. I'm still annoyed that's not called the Super Switch, but I guess we have to live in this world now.
Well, it's Switch Super.
Oh, mm-hmm. I gotta text Paris and tease him. I'm like, hey, they didn't call it the Super Switch.
Well, again, I guess we'll see. Again, you know me. It's all about the games. Let's see what games they have. Let's see what they show. So I guess let's see when April comes round, what's what. And let's see if they have a zero-day vulnerability like the first Switch.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And that's it. We don't really know all the exact specs in the hardware and what they're using for their board. That was the whole issue. The board they were using was already old, and a lot of people knew it had issues.
Yeah, and Rich, what about you? Got any thoughts on the Switch Deuce?
Yes, I have two comments to make. First and foremost, I have already switched to a Steam Deck, so sorry, Nintendo. It's not going to happen. And the second comment, I will give a shout out to Mr. Adam Vale because he says he has been saying on this show for multiple weeks, I don't know who this rich guy is. Well, guess what, Adam? You and I are 1,000% on the same page as far as the criticisms about this presentation today. So, yes, you do know me very well, good sir.
Nice. He's back.
Oh man. Yo, by the way, real quick, and Rich, you'll enjoy this. When I was hanging out with Torrance during CES, one of the comments he said to me was like, man, I love that you guys have Richard Bailey on the show. Every time he says something, I know he's gonna give me gold. Look at us. Shout out to Torrance, man.
That's funny.
Yeah. By the way, I did remember. I promised some CS stories. Probably won't get to them tonight because, you know, we got to keep things clear, even though we're not. Anyway, that's Switch 2 news. Let's get to some other stuff. And Manny, I'm going to kind of hand the show over to you for a little bit. Shuhei Yoshida, his final day with PlayStation was this week. And it hadn't even been 24 hours before my man started spilling the beans.
Yeah,
my man went in. I was like, yo, what is up with those Yoshida shit?
Yeah, so, well, you know, he got in on with his boy, Greg Miller, and he literally just started dropping bombs. Like, okay, so the first thing is, you know, he admitted to the issues with the PlayStation Vita. That's an early one where he was like, yeah, we just didn't have the resources to have two consoles out at the same time. We had our PlayStation 3, and then we were developing games for the PlayStation 4 and developing the PlayStation. So it's like we're literally trying to develop three. We're developing for three consoles, and we couldn't really pull it. So that's part of what and then he also mentions he also mentions obviously the other reasons why it failed. Obviously the proprietary memory cards, like we said, the touch panel, which was also caused it to get more expensive. And he's like, it wasn't necessarily, and it added cost.
Interesting.
He also mentioned the OLED, which was cool, but it increased the price and the production costs on it. And the Vita dev kit had the Vita didn't have a video out, despite the dev kit having.
Interesting.
So pretty much all the things that we had been saying, because I feel like, again, in general, I think people behind the scenes are not oblivious to the things that are going on. So yeah, that's one of the things. He also did mention that, you know, that he thought that Horizon Zero Dawn 2 was going to do a lot better than he thought it was going to do. He said, you know, he originally enjoyed the game, but it really didn't do amazingly like he thought it was.
Well, that's been a ongoing joke on Throwdown. It's like, where's the numbers for? They even released them yet? Like, it's been like 2 years.
They did eventually,
but nobody over there has admitted that the game was, he didn't say a failure, but it didn't do that well.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to the first one, it didn't.
The other thing he said, this one's about Bloodborne. He's, and this is just a theory on his end, but Miyazaki, he apparently says that he thinks that Miyazaki really likes the Bloodborne game, the Bloodborne world, and he really wants to make a new one, but just because there's so much things on his plate, he's asked Sony, and they're respecting his wishes, to not you know, do anything with it without his, without him doing it, having anything to do with it. So it's not a, it's not a, it's not a, so he doesn't want to hand one, hand it to one of his guys or let Sony sort of do whatever the hell they're doing with that, you know, whatever they want, get another studio to do it. He still wants to be involved with it, and they're going to wait for him to have opening in his schedule to make a Bloodborne.
Even if he's no longer with Sony, like, that's still going to happen?
Oh, well, no, I mean, probably once, if he's not at Sony.
Yeah.
You know,
no, this, the way you're talking
not,
about it,
this is not present this tense. Is not your this is not Yoshida. This is Miyazaki.
Okay,
the creator. So he's
from
saying,
software.
Okay,
from
got software. You. Okay, I got confused.
So he's, so essentially Sony Sony. He's pretty much said like, hey, I really enjoy this thing. It's just he's waiting for the right time to come in and
make sense. Okay.
So. They're pretty much respecting his wishes. He'll, you know, he still wants to do it, and he wants to just, we'll wait for you to do the new one. The other one was another one. There was, oh, this one's a nice one. He talks about how Sucker Punch and Ghost, you know, Ghost of Tsushima, Sucker Punch was actually unsure whether it was right to tackle a Japanese game like Ghost of Tsushima from the studio. You know, especially them being a Western studio or an American studio. But he says that they treated the material with respect, and now the game is also makes people in Japan proud of it.
Yeah.
So they treated it, you know, and this is obvious, you know, you could see it from some of the little featurettes they did. They went above and beyond when it
right.
came to
so,
that.
So the opposite of Ubisoft. Is that
yeah,
the opposite. It almost it almost
by
the fact,
2 seconds.
The fact that he mentioned this in this conversation. And by the way, you know, watch the video that kind of fun. We don't advertise those guys as bull.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad you watched it, because I don't like Greg.
Yeah. So
except for Paris. Shout out to Paris, but I don't like Greg.
Greg. Anyway. Yeah. Greg. You know, Greg is, you know, Greg's a Sony pony at heart, so he's got the evil. So. He called him over. Yeah, I think it was a cool interview. There's also a couple of other things. He just kept dropping bombs. The last one, and this one was kind of fun. He actually made a joke about this, but he said that, if he was still head of, you know, the first parties, he would actually not approve most of the services, and he's like, that's probably why he was moved down to the independent department. He was just joking about it. So yeah, so he said that, yeah, I wouldn't have invested in so many service games if I had still been in control of the, you know, the first parties section of. Very interesting, especially with our next topic.
Yeah, no, perfect segue. Seeing about Sony service games. I remember how many did they say were in development at one point?
12.
There were 12, right? And over the years, the number's been going lower and lower and lower and lower. Now we learned that they've canceled yet two more service games. Here's the interesting one. One of them was a God of War game. Does anybody remember God of War Ascension? The multiplayer of that bullshit. So it's like, were you trying to do that? You know, so yeah, I'm going to read this from IGN. Sony has reportedly canceled two unannounced live service games that were in development at Bend Studios and Bluepoint Games. Bluepoint Games was the one working on the God of War game. Bloomberg reports that Sony has ended production on two live service games that were in the works at Bend Studio, best known for the zombie game Days Gone, and another separate game in the works at Bluepoint, which is the God of War game, best known for the remasters of games like Shadow of the Colossus and Demon's Souls. The Bluepoint game was reportedly, live service, according to Jason Schreier, who is no longer on Twitter. He's Blue Sky only, so he went to go. Sony spokesperson confirmed the cancellations to Bloomberg. Sony also added that neither studios will be closed and that they will work with them to determine what are the next projects. This is another blow to Sony's ambitious live service games plan. In 2022, Sony acquired Destiny 2 developer Bungie and announced plans for many, like you said, 12 service games running by the end of 2025 fiscal year.
Whoops.
Are we in 2025, Brad? Just saying. These plans have failed to materialize after Sony revised the number down to just 6. Make that 4 now, right? Of which Ben and Blue Games were 2 of them.
Why did they
What's up?
Why did they pick up Blue? just to develop a
God of War
multiplayer.
Yeah, I want to finish reading this whole thing. Is just funny to me. Sony also closed down Concord developer Firewalks, oversaw layoffs at Bungie, and canceled numerous online projects like Naughty Dog's The Last of Us, a rumored Spider-Man online game, a live service Twisted Metal
rumored
game. Yeah, yeah, right. And a third person Destiny spinoff. Destiny's already a fucking live service game. What the hell is it need a spinoff
for? Yeah.
My guess is that because Bungie is working on Marathon, they probably wanted to continue with that franchise. So they're gonna make a spin-off game so that they could still have their cake and eat it.
Yeah. So check this out. This leaves just Bungie's Marathon and Haven Studios' P project still in the works, alongside continued support for Helldivers 2, which Sony is publishing. There are also rumors of two online Horizon games. Those will be canceled. One co-op experience, another being an MMO. They're done. It's clear now that Sony seems to be rethinking its live service strategy. No shit. But whether that means backing online projects it believes or abandoning the space altogether remains to be fucking wild. And I want to do this too. Bonus. Let's actually go down these cancellations. This is from Okami13 on Twitter. Shout out to him. Concord, canceled. Unannounced God of War game, canceled. The Last of Us multiplayer, canceled. Spider-Man 2 multiplayer, canceled. Ben Studio multiplayer, canceled. Twisted Metal, canceled. London Studio game, canceled. Deviation Games multiplayer game, canceled. And Payback, canceled. I just didn't know what the fuck. Oh, that was a spinoff. Yeah. Fucking disaster, bro. Fucking disaster. You know, I remember, you know, because again, we've been talking about this shit for years. I said that they are developing these many games to throw shit at a wall to see what sticks. But now it seems let's try to develop these many games and just hopefully one of them survives cancellation at this point, you know?
I mean, here's the thing. The idea why you would decide to go in those type of service games is because you don't need to, they're supposed to not cost nearly as much as a big old AAA game. But as we learned with Concord, that's not the case. They literally spent, you know, obviously people are not counting, you know, a lot of people like to not count the, you know, discount the amount of money that the studio itself put into it before Sony went in and fixed it, but, you know, went into emergency mode and fixed the damn thing. But yeah, I would say that, you know, I think a lot of these projects, they should have been small projects. And I see the only company that seems to have been able to pull something off was the guys who did Helldivers. And that game didn't have a huge budget. And that's the way it was supposed to work.
Well, even with the servers, remember, once it launched, it started crashing because they had to get more servers. They didn't think it was going to be a huge hit. Yeah,
they didn't. Number one, they didn't think it was going to be a huge hit. And number two, they also warned everybody before it happened. They're like, listen, we know there's going to be issues with our launch. Please be patient. We're working to have more servers and we're looking to squash these bugs. So they went out there knowing that everybody was they already have numbers of how many people purchased the game. So they're like, all right, all these people are wanting to pay this game. We don't have enough to support Sony. Get on it, right? Man,
hot mess. You know, it's like, yeah. Sony, I understand the allure of the Fortnite bug. Let's just be honest. They want to be like Fortnite. But Sony, you're known for making, you know, mostly single player experience. I'm not saying you shouldn't do multiplayer, but you should also do it your own way, not trying to chase
it should have been a little bit of a little bit of those service games and then their bread and butter.
Yeah.
And obviously they didn't focus enough on their bread and butter, and this is precisely why we see, you know, when they said this year that they would have last year in 2024, that they will have no significant PlayStation releases.
They have multiple problems. And Tony, we discussed this. Moving SIE to San Francisco was a huge mistake. It was a gigantic mistake. And a lot of these bad decisions are the result of it. But they also learned the wrong lessons from COVID. They saw revenue spikes from people, just consuming more entertainment, and with live service games, that they put all this stuff into production, not realizing that bubble was going to burst as soon as everything was, you know, everything was better, and then, you know, you had jabs and no lockdowns or whatever. So that all ended, right? People go back to work and they live their life and whatever, and now they're not playing as much and they're not consuming as much media. So all that falls off. And so they went on the spending spree, started purchasing studios to get the live service talent, to get the networking talent, like Bungie and these other guys, Firewalk. But, I mean, you have a multifaceted problem, because you look at Concord and it's like, oh, what the fuck were you thinking? And, you know, and you have talent like Bungie. Well, talent, you have the name. I don't think you have much of the talent. And that's a pervasive problem. I saw the trailer for Dawnwalker from Rebel Wolves, and those are the Witcher guys who left CD Projekt Red. That game was going to be fire, and that was just a cutscene. I was like, I don't know, I have good feelings about this. I do not, you know, you see, you watch the Witcher 4 trailer, and it's like, eh, yeah, I think I'll pass.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to read your comment, Logic Wins, but I agree. You know what type of game those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying not to say it, but you...
Yeah,
you,
it starts with a
W. Yeah, what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's, but it's not the good kind of W. Yeah, no, you're 100% right about that. Yeah, and I'm hoping, you know, that the ex-Witcher developers have great success with that, you know?
Well, I hope they can keep their fucking shit together.
Also,
because you know, Cyberpunk was a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Well, Cyberpunk wasn't a mess. It wasn't. That wasn't a development issue. That was a business issue.
They rushed it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was problem with overpromising and not being able to deliver. But you had a miscommunication. You have development time, and you have engineers who know about like lead up time and what they need, and then you have business guys who make promises and then set the goals, which are completely unreasonable, and that's what happened with Cyberpunk.
Well, let's see if they can pull this. Like, you know, obviously the higher ups at the top didn't listen to what the programmers were saying when it came to it. You know, the devs were saying, "Hey, listen, we need X amount of time to really get this thing cleaned up." But I mean, you know, also we talk about the revolving door of you know, CD Projekt Red from early on. You know, during the process of making Cyberpunk and The Witcher, there was a lot of you know, not such cool things happening there. So we'll see what let's see if this new leaf for them, and it's a very impressive looking game so far, or you know, at least cinematic so far. We'll see if the stigma of what happened over there at CD Projekt doesn't you know, follow them to this new.
Yeah, I want
to
read a comment from Yar. Shout out to you, and let me finish this kind of long. Are you guys saying Sony and Microsoft shouldn't challenge Fortnite? They should let them have that space to themselves. That is how we get price increase and tons of microtransactions with no competition. We're not saying that they shouldn't try. We're saying you shouldn't try to develop 12 fucking games when you're going to have a 99.9 failure rate. Like most of these games, actually all these games so far have not met that challenge of being Fortnite. So we're just saying, keep it realistic. Don't go making 20 fucking games. Stop trying to do clones.
Yeah, stop trying to do clones.
Do your own thing.
Do some focus groups. You know, really focus on what you want to do.
And it all started at launch. That game, we don't even remember what the fuck the name of that game is. What was that game? The one with the cars.
Rocket League?
Launch title for PlayStation. What was it?
League. No, I know.
Yeah, it's such a forgettable title that nobody can remember.
I have no idea.
Destruction
All Stars.
Destruction, and it all started with, who was that for?
Yeah,
was
nobody.
That for the Fortnite kid? There was nothing compelling about that game, and that's why they literally just got slowly pushed under the table. But I'm sure that game didn't cost nearly as much to make as something like a.
$400 million.
We're not saying that Sony or Microsoft shouldn't attempt to do this, but they also need to stick. To be able to stick to their bread and butter. What in this generation? Can you name one new title that defines this generation?
None.
It's literally a bunch of sequels or remakes from the previous generation. If you guys just want everything just to be like that, oh sure, okay, but you want to have a little bit of everything, and I don't think 12 services is the idea. I would say if they started with a solid 5, that'd be
that's still too many.
I mean,
Yeah, you have to analyze what goes into Fortnite that makes it a success, that makes it attractive, and then test titles. Like, they don't test anything. They're just blasting $100, $200, $300 million budgets on titles, acquiring studios, and then just throwing money at them and like, we need a looter shooter, or we need a live service, you know, PvP match game, you know, because that's what Fortnite is. And it's like, no, but that's not why it's successful. There's plenty of those,
yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. they're not successful. It's like, you know, and look at the excuse with Firewalk. At the end, Concord shut down in less than 2 weeks, and they're like, oh, the looter shooter space is too crowded. This is a dying genre. Then what happens? First Ascendant comes out, blows up. Marvel Rivals comes out, blows up. Right? Blows so up. That's a poor excuse. It's like, you need to test things and figure out what works. And what those two games have in common, they're free to play. You didn't have to invest anything in them. Like, in-game, yeah, but you could get into it for free and try it out, just like Fortnite. There's something Sony didn't do. You have to pay for Concord. You have to pay for their live service shit. And then on top of that, there's skins, there's loot boxes, there's season passes and all this stuff. So you're bleeding people from both ends. That was the mistake right off the bat. And then it's like, you don't make attractive characters, you don't make attractive gameplay, you don't have anything that differentiates you. Your unique selling proposition is what? You have weirdo-looking fucking giant ugly goblin people to play as? Like, what kind of selling point is this?
And they're forgetting one of the big key elements of why people jump into Fortnite, besides all the facts that you mentioned, free and all the other stuff, is that all these other modes, all these games that PlayStation was developing, and Fortnite has it all in one. There's a racing game, there's a Lego game, there's you got development games. Hell, friend of the show David is in one of them. You know what I mean? But it's like they have all these other modes, which are all included under the low price of free.
But it didn't start that way.
No, it doesn't matter. You can't go on that. It's what it is now. So if somebody jumps in, they need to compete with what's there now. So if someone says, hey, I could play this, all these different live services games on that PlayStation is doing, or I could do Fortnite, which has all of them in one, and I have all my friends on my plays. I watch my son do it. Him and his buddies jump from one game to another, playing Lego, doing this. But they're just all over in one game still.
But the thing is that, like, in other words, you can't jump out of the gate with the kitchen. Fortnite built its way up there because they saw that their player base would essentially start to fall, so they added something new. That
Roblox.
You only get that. And well, you know, they took their original gameplay from PlayerUnknown. But about it is that you can't, just like we've said with the DC cinematic universe, you can't skip to Avengers without having the movies that were above before it. The same thing is with this. If you have a solid base, and you see this with Helldivers, you have a solid base to build off of, and then you continue to build off of it. But again, I think I agree with Chris. They took the wrong the wrong lessons from this situation. They just see service games, but they're not like looking what is attractive about these services. You know what? Like, you look at Overwatch, right? What is attractive? You know, granted, Overwatch is not the bee's knees these days, right? But you look at Overwatch, or you look at a game like Valorant. What's the cool thing about those games? The character. What's the cool thing? And to jump off of that, what's the cool thing about Marvel Rivals? The characters. You got all these kind of cool looking, like, you know, variants of your favorite Marvel characters: Storm, the Wolverine, the Spider-Man. And if you don't like the way that version of them looks, you know what? You got another one that you could be cool with. And then, not to mention, they only just recently revealed their their time frame for releasing characters. And what do you got? The game hasn't even been out for very long, and we already got a bunch of new characters, bunch of things. They had, you know, holiday stuff already all set up for the damn thing. They got the Fantastic Four coming in now.
Yeah, so you have people now discovering the glory of.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all GTA Online all over again. With all of that, it's like people like customization, people like all these fun characters and things to do. And
Fortnite is literally just the Applebee's of gaming that we always discuss. I saw a clip of Godzilla like fucking up Hatsune Miku. Like, what is going on here?
Godzilla's on there. Kong is on there now.
Adam is on there now.
You know?
My character's coming soon. I'm waiting for the license agreement to go through, but then you'll be able to buy my character for $4.99.
I want to see Hip Hop Gamer's belt or Hip Hop Gamer.
He could probably get in there. Yeah, they put a lot of content creators have their own skins and add-ons and things.
Hey, something I did is in that game too. There you go. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Kishak says Fortnite was really lucky and struck lightning. Don't forget that. It probably got very lucky. Absolutely.
Yeah, they piggybacked on a lot of things. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. They definitely piggybacked off of the time. Definitely player unknown battlegrounds, but even player unknown's battlegrounds, you know, even though it's kind of slipped off the radar a little,
it's still popular. Yeah, PUBG is still up there.
Here's the thing. I don't like that argumentation because even if it was lightning in a bottle and luck, the game is still vastly successful, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it was luck. It doesn't matter if it was strategic. It doesn't matter. Like, it's still successful. And to say, that's not an excuse to say, well, Sony should copy because they'll have the same luck. Like, I don't understand the reasoning.
No, Chris. I think he's saying that these guys are not going to hit the same kind of luck that the Fortnite guys did. I think that's what's going
on. Okay.
It's not the same lightning in a bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Kishak's saying. He's saying they're not going to strike that same lightning in a bottle. Like,
okay. Well, I agree with that.
Yeah. So Fortnite succeeded under a very specific set of circumstances that you can't just replicate. You know.
Yeah.
Kind of like Baldur's Gate. You're not going to have another game like that. Yeah. There was very specific amount of circumstances
that you had in common, though, right?
What's up?
Like, they listened to their community. Like, they both went underwent like long early access periods where they went through fundamental change based off of player feedback. They weren't developers who were like, well, I'm going to tell my audience what they need, not listen to what they want.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree 100%.
Star Citizen's such a huge success.
Fortnite wasn't even supposed to be the type of game that it ended up being. It was supposed to be like a building game, like a building tower defense game.
Yeah, tower defense. Yeah.
And, you know, and they shifted gears based off of the things that their players wanted. You know, Baldur's Gate went through like a year long early access period where they changed a whole lot. Apparently, I intentionally didn't go in early access because I wanted to enjoy the game when it came out blind, but. They apparently changed a whole lot. And a lot of games that actually end up popping off and being this lightning in a bottle actually kind of do have that in common, where they're guided more by what the audience kind of engages with as opposed to what somebody thought and, you know, the way they can bring the most money out of them. So in doing things like listening to your player base and focusing on and prioritizing fun instead of, you know, microtransaction leverage profit, it's not rocket science, but it's hard to explain to people who are financially investing in a game why you should make the game maybe good instead of more money, because then maybe it'll make more money. So it's I both agree and disagree in that, like, it's not, you know, rocket science as to what makes a game good. It's just rocket science somehow getting it to actually be that thing, because money.
Well, I mean, this is the same thing that a lot of people argue with the whole Call of Duty. And it's like, oh, well, who's going to be the next Call of Duty? I don't think there ever will be. This is it. Call of Duty's so established, been around so long, so many people play it. It's got all these modes. It's got tons of content on it. When you buy a Call of Duty game, you are buying a huge packet. If we were to spill it out into physical content, it will fill up a table. Tons of stuff. And whoever jumps in to compete on that level would have to do the same, because if not, they will always be compared. Yeah. Just from the jump, especially with the Call of Duty, where there is a price entry, you know, you have to pay. It's not free. So if someone says, oh, look at this game, it's $60, it's a better shooter, what does it have? Well, it's got multiplayer, a sort of a campaign, and then you look at Call of Duty Zombies and Warzone and all these other modes that are, it's like, it's too much. Forget it. So I think as long as they keep putting the work and the time, and as much people bitch about both of these type of games, millions of people are invested and still play it. Even the ones that bitch all the time, they are still up there playing it because they still like it. Whether it's the bitch or not, they like it. So it's it, I don't I think it, just to get back on topic, Sony should just say, you know what, let's look at the things that work on these things and let's try to incorporate it in our own universe. Remember they did that with the Smash Bros. Version when they tried to make their all-star game? That failed too. They tried their own and it's like, so they just have to try to figure out a work, but then not put all this money in and not
stop trying to make a live service game. Nobody, like, I don't want to say nobody, like, most people don't give a flying fuck about live service games. And like, there can only be one of them. And, like, that's the problem. Like, it, like, this has been a Warcraft, a thing since World of Warcraft, right? Like, you can have one game that you dump all of your time into between all other games. And there can only be one of those. And that's why it makes so much money. And then you everybody wants to try and dethrone this giant thing. It's like trying to win the lottery, right? And they're like, yeah, 99% of you are going to fail because there's only room for one of these. It's not like God of War. Like, it's like, oh, I like God of War and Assassin's Creed. Like, no, imagine you could only choose one video game and then everybody was competing to be the one video game. It'd be kind of hard. Most of the time people would fail. And when people did fail, you'd be like, well, yeah, no shit. Most of the time people fail.
And remember, Sony's been down this road before. Remember when they were attempting to make a Halo killer for years?
Oh, yeah. That franchise, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that one?
Killzone?
Killzone.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they tried their hand. You know, we had Haze. Haze. War.
Resistance.
I'm forgetting that fucking War something. War Thunder. I don't know what it was called.
Warhawk.
Thank you. Yes. Warhawk. They've tried their hand at this. Doesn't work. Their fans don't care about that. Just be honest, you know.
Shout out to Riku.
I don't think that some of their investments, huge investments. I don't think Mag was investment.
Shout out to Black Metal Gamer.
I think the thing about it is that if they're going to hit these types of games, they can't be significant significant spends, right? Just a little bit of you know how we always talk about a toe dip, a little bit more than a toe dip, but just enough to get it out there, but you didn't spend a lot of money. That's kind of the way the old Sony first parties used. They didn't spend a huge amount of money, but it did allow them a lot of freedom, and they made enough of a sales to be able to continue to do those sorts. And I think that's what they need to go back to. I think they, you know, smaller titles, you know, whether that be, a platformer or whatever other games like Astrobot didn't cost a lot of money to make, you know, little of these smaller things to fill in the spaces of the big experience like they always use. But, you know, obviously since the regime change, you know, they all forgot this.
Yeah, I want to address something. Kishak, because I don't think you were here when we addressed GZDR, because you just said something he said about like 20 minutes ago. So, but we'll go over it again to clarify. He goes, so is Sony only good at single player games and it should stay in their lane? Like we said, it is okay to venture off, but don't put all your your fucking eggs in that same basket. Stick to your bread and butter for the most part, but try to do these little experiments on the side. And if they bomb, like Concord, you know, it won't be a big deal because you haven't invested that much money. But if you're trying to make 12 fucking games when you're when you're a publisher that's primarily known for single player games, that is crazy. You know, again, we're not saying you shouldn't make live service games or shouldn't try. We're not saying that. And we'll probably have to repeat this shit again because motherfuckers don't seem to understand. We're not saying that. We're just saying stick to your bread and butter and have room for a little bit of that if you can spare it, you know?
Yeah,
because the shit is not going to work as history has shown over and over and over and over again. Go ahead,
Brent. Best example of this is Nintendo, right? What do they do? What does Nintendo do?
Hold up. No, go ahead, man, because I'm reading the comments. I'm getting stupid.
Best example is what Nintendo, they have their stream of titles, right? You know, the things that, you know, they got their Mario, got their Zeldas, they got their Metroids, and they put them out. They pretty much stick to within their wheelhouse, what their fans sort of want. And then they decide to do little offshoots, little experiments. You know, you get your Pikmins, you get your whatever the hell that boxing game was with the stretchy arms. You know, you get these little things that sort of veer off, and if they do hit, you know, you get more of those. that's the way Sony, that's the way PlayStation worked previously, right? They, you know, put their little, you know, they make games like Loaded. They make games like Twisted Metal or titles. You have, you know, you have all these little things. And then if they hit, you know, boom. Okay, now we make more of those. Same thing. You work the same way when it comes to these service titles. And I know it seems like a lot of you guys are apologists for what for the current state of PlayStation at this time. And I know you guys are like, hey, oh, they're making millions of dollars and blah blah blah, the top console.
These live service games are fucking failing. You can't be out there saying, oh, they need to try. They're fucking failing. Do you understand? They're losing millions and millions and hundreds of billions of dollars. Don't come to me saying, oh, are you saying they shouldn't try? We're just saying don't keep doing the same shit you've been doing because it's fucking not working. Like Manny said, stick to bread and butter and experiment every once in a while. Do what you do, Sony. Toe dip. Do a little toe dip, okay. See what works. And go ahead, Brex. I know you want to go off. Go ahead, bro. I'm getting upset right now.
I'm mad. Well,
yeah, because like the shit's not a binary choice. Like you guys are being like intellectually disingenuous. The people who argue with that are like, you're being intellectually disingenuous. Concord was like a record-breaking budget and a record-breaking loss, right? Like, to say that there is no in-between, like, between, like, trying, like, literally trying 12 different games, at least one of which was a record-breaking loss in multiple arenas, right? And to just not try at all, to say that there's no in-between there, like, is a logical fallacy at best and intellectually dishonest at worst, right? Like, you're either not being honest with yourself or with us at that point, because like you have to understand that it's not that binary. It's not that black and white. There is a space between here. And again, yeah, Sony, it's not that, let me phrase it a different way, right? It's not that Sony shouldn't be trying this, and it's not that they're primarily known for first-party games. They don't have experience or success in this arena, nor have they in like 20 fucking years, right? I'm going to say the hard part. Sony has tried to do this and failed to do this for nigh on two fucking decades now. They have not been able to make a successful online first-party game of their own, I'm pretty sure, ever. And I may eat those fucking words.
Well, there is EverQuest, but that wasn't PlayStation.
Was Sony, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, when was EverQuest released? But
Brett, your point stands. And I know dudes are going to say, oh, what about the Uncharted games? Word? Where was that multiplayer now? They canceled the fucking multiplayer for The Last of Us. You know?
Yeah, but that shit was secondary. That was not an online service game. It was not like you. They haven't.
That's
what
my point.
They're trying to do, they have never succeeded in doing. And it's not because they haven't tried.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they have tried. They have tried since like the days of PS2, right? Since that's the one thing Microsoft could do that they have not been able to capture. The singular thing, for those of you in the stands fucking taking notes, writing me death threats and shit or whatever the fuck, like it's the one thing, right? And like, I'm not saying that Sony can't do it, but I'm saying maybe don't throw like all of your fucking budget in it, because you guys are like, are sitting there defending this shit. This is the reason you don't have the classic Sony games, is because they chased the fucking dollar down a rabbit hole and left you standing there holding the bag. Why are you defending this shit? So, like, not only is it, like, non-nuanced and honestly kind of probably not a fair point to try and bring up in discussion, but it's also shooting yourself in the foot. Like, I am also frustrated by, like, I don't know how you can believe this, why you believe this, or why you would want to believe this. Like, that's not what Sony does. And if this is just coming from a place of like, well, my favorite company can do anything that anybody's favorite company can do, but better, like, all right, cool. Again, there's no having a discussion with that. You know, we're talking about, why are they investing so much money into a thing that they have not been able to accomplish? If they have hit this shit out of the ballpark time and time again, I would understand, because this shit would be their bread and butter. But they're spending all this money to try and dethrone a game for all of these hypothetical gains that honestly they're not really pandering or catering even to their fan base. Actually, I'm gonna be honest with y'all, that ain't even me anymore. Like I my PlayStation's gotten so dusty. So like I'm not even coming at this from that. I'm just coming at it from like holy shit, man, like Why is this? Why do you guys want Sony to keep burning money? It doesn't benefit you. It doesn't benefit them. It doesn't benefit any of the things you're trying to defend. Like, is it just purely ego? Can somebody, like, honestly, like, so I'm not reading the chat, but like, Tony, tell me, like, if somebody has a good answer for something that, like, what is this other than pure ego?
No, I think some of the guys are coming around to understanding where we're coming from. But yeah, anyway, first of all, I agree with everything you just said. But again, and we'll probably have to repeat this because you guys are taking this as too black and white. We are not saying that Sony shouldn't try this stuff. Yeah, try it, but don't do it to such a large scale. Don't do it on the scale of fucking Concord, where you're spending $400 million on this shit. Don't try it on the scale of 12 games, 10 of which have been canceled already. You know, that's all we're saying. Do other shit
because of it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I want the games that budget could have made.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, man. But to your point too, it's like, guys, you don't have to defend Sony. They don't need your help. You know, that's happened to them right now, that's on them for making stupid fucking decisions, for chasing after the Fortnite dragon. You know, do something else.
And it is. I realize this is probably a very odd way to put it, and it's probably 95% not true. But there's a grain of truth in here, right? Like, I cannot say for certain. There's a small chance if they hadn't spent half that money on Concord, they may have given us a Bloodborne 2, right? Like they could have put it towards something we've all wanted. And I can't even off the top of my head think of what that would be right now, other than like Bloodborne 2 or a Bloodborne remake or shit, any other innumerable projects that we've wanted them to make that they just decided, nah. Like,
we already discussed why Bloodborne's not coming out.
Yeah, we already discussed that, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they're waiting for Miyazaki, yeah.
Yeah. What is the thing? Like, I can't even think of, like, what's something you guys, Sony has abandoned that you guys would have rather they not abandoned?
The Order 1887?
For $200 million.
Yeah, but again, that now we're going kind of down a weird rabbit hole. But the point stands.
$200 million doesn't vanish, right? Like, yeah. if you could have kept Concord at a reasonable budget, what would you have done with that $200 million? Something. It would have been something.
Yeah, that's honestly true.
Even if it would have been Christmas bonuses, that shit would have been better.
Keep some of those employees they laid off.
You know what's funny? Sony is doing this and not trying to get these franchises that people love to come back, and then Microsoft is doing the opposite. It's like, let's get Fable and Perfect Dark.
Which will also be disasters in a different direction.
Yeah, those are going to fail horribly too, you know?
But it's like, we need a balance. Sony, come on.
All right, man, it's all wrapping up because, like I said, I got an event to go to tomorrow, which I can't tell you about now, but I will tell you when the embargo, some interesting stuff. I'm going to stick to this too because I always ask Rich about the coalition on Thursday and Sunday, but it's like it makes more sense on a Sunday, so we'll save that. But does anybody else have anything they want to plug?
I am Negan in a couple of months.
Hopefully. They didn't put a schedule, but it definitely has to be around sometime March at least for Dead City. Something has to be coming because it's been filmed. That's the only thing that bothers me. It's like the actors will post online, it's like, we wrapped up. That we was like up a year and a half ago. Yeah. And I was like, shoot, why is this in the can so long?
They got to do these special effects, yo.
I guess it takes forever for these special effects. So
real quick, Kishak says, you know, regarding the conversation we just had, honestly, none of this matters when Xbox is failing around. Yeah, Sony can afford to do all these fucking failures because it's not gonna affect them because they don't have any competition, which is also bad. That's why we like competition. Yeah. You know, if you fuck up, you know, your competitor's gonna be there to like, oh, we're gonna do this now. But Xbox is not in a position to even challenge them. But that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah. Their competition right now is just PC.
But even that, you know.
Still think because Sony awesome wants people to play on their platform. Exactly. Yeah, that's so
it's
the
like
thing.
An offshoot it's like, of Sony. That yeah. Be, like, you go ahead, Brian. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, I still say that's a problem that that Sony can find themselves in because
good, yeah.
Because all it takes is Microsoft just have one good day, which again, I'm not saying it's going to happen, I'm saying it is a possibility, maybe, who knows. And then things could reverse, and then all these mistakes could just pile up on Sony, and who knows where things could be. Again, possibly. I don't think Sony is invincible. It just seems to be Sony's is okay because the competition isn't really doing much. But then second that things switch, it could be hell on earth in like a year or so.
It could be a Man City situation. Anything is possible. No one saw that coming, and it happened. And so I could definitely see it here. Yeah. Money isn't everything.
All right, man. So wrapping up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and join the Discord. And of course, follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to this, links to everything down below. Once again, also tonight, also by Neilio Lopes.
See you next time,
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Yeah. Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Mongeau.
Rest in peace, David Lynch.
Sure. All right, guys, we will return on Sunday. Later.